But the Met bullpen, and this is going to be something that will be odd once the trade deadline comes and goes, assuming that David Stearns unloads as much of the bullpen as he potentially could. Like, we already know that AJ Minter and Brooks Raley are going to be traded. Those are locks, barring injury. The other two questions, but very well could be traded, are Luke Weaver and Waskar Brazoban. If he trades all four guys, you are looking at a 50% turnover of the Met bullpen. And I am not complaining. I'm just preparing ourselves for what this bullpen may look like in about 5 days. Because for now, and this is not just speaking on this series against Atlanta, but certainly really this season, the Met bullpen's been good. I mean, you look up and down this pen. I start with Devin Williams, who got through the ninth inning with a one-run lead. So kudos to him. Made things a little bit exciting, giving up a two-out hit to Mauricio Dubon and then a stolen base. But I think Devin Williams has not been bad this season. I think his ERA is a little misleading. I think he's been okay. But Luke Weaver has been all-star-like. Waskar Brazoban has been all-star-like. Brooks Raley has been really good. He got off to a tremendous start, and then he has struggled a little bit, but for the most part, has had a good year. AJ Minter, since he's come back, has mostly been good. Like, this bullpen, and that doesn't even include some of the Syracuse shuttle guys that have pitched well, like Siono Perez and certainly Duarte, who is going to be fascinating to watch over the next 2 months of the season because he's no longer a Syracuse shuttle guy. He's going to be on this bullpen, and we'll see what he does. But the bullpen's been a strength for this team. It really has all year long. There haven't been a lot of positives, but the bullpen's been that. And there's a chance that 50% of it could be turned over in the next couple of days. But the bullpen did an awesome job after Manaea in game one. Waskar Brazoban continues to be in control. A 1-2-3 seventh inning. Luke Weaver faced the top of the order. Puts Drake Baldwin on. Gets Matt Olson to ground into the easiest tailor-made 6-3 double play. And I mentioned what Devin Williams did in the ninth inning. So the bullpen continues to be locked down and was able to keep it at 2-2 until the Mets were able to scratch out the game-winning run in the seventh inning. And when you look at the seventh inning and what they did, credit to A.J. Ewing, who had a really good series. More on him when we do the Rico, I'm the Man right now, by drawing the walk that started the seventh inning. And then Francisco Lindor, who I'll tell you right now is probably not going to be the I'm the Man right now, despite a great start to this series, the huge six RBI day on Monday. I just don't think he did enough in this doubleheader to warrant getting that award, but he had an outstanding game one, a historic game one, and underratedly had the 8-pitch at bat in which he draws the walk in the seventh inning that sets up really the opportunity to score in the bottom of the seventh inning and give this bullpen the lead. And then you get the Bo Bichette sacrifice fly, which was not ideal. I'd like him to come through. When he hits a line drive to right field, I'd like to fall in for a base hit. But it does set up Carson Benge, who got the biggest hit of the series. If we're being honest, if we're looking at what they did in game one, it was a close game until they blew it out late. But it was a close game, sixth inning tie game in game one. But Carson Benge, tie game, two on, two out, bottom of the seventh inning. The Braves have the top of the order coming up in the eighth. You have no idea if the bullpen's going to hold it as well as it's pitched. And Carson Benge pounds an RBI double. That was huge. And it was good to see. And he did it against the lefty. Let's throw that in there. He didn't just do it. He didn't just get the game-winning RBI double. He did it against the left-handed pitcher. So kudos to Carson Benge. They scratch out the third run. Bullpen does the rest of the work, and they take the opener of this doubleheader. Underratedly thing I liked. Very underrated, but I liked it. Jorge Polanco has been a disaster, and he started to hear the boos. I don't know if it was the Dodgers series or the beginning of this series, but you could tell the Met fan, those who show up to Citi Field, they're not necessarily angry. It's almost like a level of indifference that at times you hear, at times. And the crowds have been smaller. I thought Monday felt like a big crowd, but it was only announced at 29,000. And 28,000 was the attendance for game two, which was a regularly scheduled day game. And then the attendance for Wednesday's game, the second game of the doubleheader that was supposed to be Tuesday, was only like 23,000 people. I mean, these are some of the smallest crowds of the year. Not a surprise considering where they are in the standings. But Jorge Polanco is becoming the guy that the Met fan is just going to, they're going to take issue with. And how could you blame anybody? I'm not a booer, but the guy's hitting 135 and remember missed a big chunk of the season. So between not playing, not even being able to play a position right now, and not hitting, Jorge Polanco is not on anybody's good side. But underratedly, in the sixth inning of a tie game after Jared Young gets the leadoff hit, I like the fact he laid down a bunt. And it worked, or at least it worked in terms of he advanced Jared Young. The problem was Tyrone Taylor and Marcus Semien struck out. So they weren't able to take advantage of it. But I tell you, when he laid down that bunt, I smiled. And I'm not a big fan of the bunt anymore, but he is so freaking lost at the plate that I looked at that and said, that's their best opportunity to score. That's their best opportunity to put any kind of rally together. So even as somebody that doesn't love the bunt, I didn't mind it right there. In that case, I said, that's okay.